This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
It was fun making fun of Cory Booker because he deserves it, because he's obviously berating this woman, this secretary, Kirstjen Nielsen. To me, it's irrelevant, her gender. I just point out the left is always highlighting identity politics on things like that. And had the roles been reversed, and had this been an Obama administration official and a Republican senator yelling at her like this, that's all you'd be hearing about. But when it's a Democrat senator going after a member of the Trump administration, they cheer this kind of nonsense on. But factually, he gave some very wrong information today. So I want you to actually listen to the very beginning of his histrionic grandstanding, and I'll tell you what I mean.
I know you're aware of a 2017 GAO report that found, and I quote, out of the 85 violent extremist incidences that resulted in death since September 12, 2001, far-right-wing violent extremist groups were responsible for 73%. When I go through the Black Belt in the South, when I'm in Atlanta, black churches in Newark, they're concerned about jihadist Islamic terrorism. We watched the Twin Towers from Newark go down. But since 9/11, 85 violent incidents, 73%. We're with people that hold bigoted, hateful ideas about minorities. One American.
Okay, let's stop right now for a second. This has to go with your definition of how you define domestic terrorism. And a big part of what the left wants to always do is define everything as domestic terrorism. And they want to try to do that to say that the Republicans are racist because they spend so much time focusing on radical Islamic terror. It's a little game that they play. So, you know, a whack job who's a racist in the wherever, you know, the South or wherever, picks up a gun and walks into a black church. They want to attribute that to a larger phenomenon. And again, this is faulty logic. Leave logic out of it with the left, of course. But this is faulty logic for the simple reason that the issue with radical Islamic terrorism and ISIS is that it's an organization. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not these extremist groups. And I reject the notion that they're far right wing, by the way. That's a slander on conservatism that the media allows to be thrown around all the time. Far right wing. You notice that? What makes these groups right wing exactly? What makes these groups right-wing? I've always wondered that question. It's a stupid, stupid label that they ascribe to them. Never understood it. Never understood that. But that's what they say, these far-right violent extremist groups. Okay, first of all, there might be organized groups, like the Democrats when they started the KKK, which was an organized group, a militant group designed to keep black people oppressed, or when the Democratic Party put in Jim Crow laws, which were actually organized laws to, again, oppress black people. Those were organized efforts. Now, if there is a group, a white supremacist group out there that is actively plotting terrorism, whether it is that they're going after a black church, they're going after black people, or any of the other things, do you not think the FBI and the Department of Justice go after those groups? I mean, it's a stupid fallacy to suggest that the federal government doesn't go after hate groups in this country. But what they want you to believe is that the real problem are the rise of these right-wing groups, these right-wing hate groups. And then he names individuals. Now, hate's been a problem since the problem of humanity. There's no cure for that, unfortunately. But the idea of a guy who's hateful and probably clearly off his rocker going in and shooting up a church, as horrible as that is not the same as a group that commits terrorism in the name of ISIS, which is a political movement, a political religious movement, but still an organized political movement, almost the likes of a nation state, you know, 30,000 strong with billions of dollars and weapons. It's a big difference. But again, this is the left's talking point that again, Republicans are racist against brown people. And really, it's the white people that they should be worried about. Now, just last week, they arrested a white supremacist. Federal charges against a white supremacist. A white supremacist just shot a cop, by the way, and he was taken into custody. You know, the reaction from the media? Well, if he had been black, they would have shot and killed him. Not, oh, yeah, the police did a good job taking this innocent man into custody because he's innocent until he's proven guilty in a court of law. No, not that. Well, if he was black, they would have shot and killed him since he shot a police officer. So, yes, they are arresting white supremacists. They are going after hateful groups. But there's a difference between Dylann Roof and the leaders of Al-Qaeda or ISIS. The fact that Cory Booker is a senator, he knows this. But this is their talking point. This is that corrupt Southern Poverty Law Center's talking point as well. By the way, John Stossel, who's terrific, has a great piece on this at Reason.com. He did a little video on this and how the Southern Poverty Law Center is a giant money-making scam. A giant scam. So let's continue with Cory Booker's lies here.
One American killed in Charleston, Virginia, and dozens injured. 9 Americans killed in a church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina by a white supremacist. An American killed and another wounded in Kansas after a white supremacist targeted them for their ethnicity, saying, get out of my country.
Okay, let's stop now for a second. Are any of these individuals, as bad as their actions are any of them connected to larger groups that are encouraging this, that are actively promoting this? Or are these individuals acting on their own? This is the fallacy of this argument, which I still to this day cannot comprehend how they get away with. Well, I know how they get away with this because it pushes their narrative. If the KKK were back, right? If let's say the Democratic Party brought them back, and the KKK were actively out there going after people and killing people again, like they did back in the day, do you not think that the Trump Justice Department would go after and prosecute them? They just prosecuted white supremacists, but these are individuals who on their own are doing these acts. Well, they're motivated by hate. Okay. What's your point? So that any groups that then espouse hate are guilty, implicitly guilty, and then what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do, exactly? What are you going to do? Because you're allowed to be hateful under the First Amendment. You have a right to hate. What are you going to do? And you know as well as I do, it's dumb logic. Here are the facts about terrorism here from the Department of Homeland Security. They released a study today. Sheds new light on the connection between the U.S. immigration system and so-called homegrown terrorism. Of the 549 people convicted of international terrorism-related charges between September 11, 2001 and the end of last year, 402, 73% were foreign-born, according to the DHS report. Of those, 148 had become naturalized U.S. citizens before committing terrorism offenses. DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen says the findings suggest the U.S. needs to improve its immigration vetting process to include screening certain immigrants after they arrive. Quote, I think what we take directly away from this report is we need to continue to enhance our screening and vetting. But it also tells us we need to continually vet those who are here. We have examples, unfortunately, over the last decade of terrorist attacks from legal permanent residents and others who were naturalized. The DHS study follows a spate of recent terror-related offenses allegedly committed by foreign-born people who had immigrated to the U.S. through legal channels. The suspects... Two incidents in New York City, a deadly truck rampage in October and an attempted suicide bombing in December, had arrived through the diversity visa lottery and on family preference visa, respectively. Now, again, if you can't see the difference between what the Islamic State is fighting for and their recruitment efforts and the way they go after these young men to try to elicit them to join their extremist movement, and also what's happening with regards to the extremism in prisons that's also converting people. If you can't see a difference between that and a lone racist nut job who picks up a gun and shoots people, I have no idea what to tell you. I really have no idea what to tell you. But we're fighting this war on terror. It is a war against an organized geopolitical group that's fighting for a religious purpose. But they're the real deal. Again, if the hate groups were organized and then actively promoting terrorism and violence, that would be a much different story. But this is the Cory Booker Southern Poverty Law Center. This is the narrative that they throw out. And anybody who rejects it is called a racist. Anybody who rejects that is called a racist. So you can't simply turn around and say, you can't just turn around and go, you know what? I think that the problem here is that we're not going after these hate groups. Of course they're going after hate groups. If they have a reason to go after hate groups. But when the KKK was around and they were actually promoting violence in the South because the Democratic Party would refuse to agree that they are, in fact, entitled to the same rights and equality under the law, the Democratic Party had the KKK. Woodrow Wilson screened the movie Birth of a Nation in the White House. Birth of a Nation, about the Klan. Woodrow Wilson. That was basically a militant organization, the KKK, back in the day. No, I'm not gonna just pretend like it wasn't associated with the Democratic Party. I'm not going to. I'm not gonna allow history to be reinvented. I won't do it. Not on my watch. And if you ever want to read the book Liberal Fascism by Jonah Goldberg, talks all about the history of these organized hate groups by the Democratic Party. But the point is that you had groups back then that were doing this organized hatred. And that's not the same thing that you have here today. But Booker Mike makes that point because he wants to grandstand. And he also wants to make another point, too, which is a point that he's making, which Dick Durbin's making, which others are making as well. And that point is this. If you single out anybody who's foreign born or you want vetting or you want anything else, you're a racist because they're not really the problem. That's the little game that they're playing. As he goes on with his grandstanding and he keeps bringing up all of these racist incidents, the subtext here is Trump's a racist because he's going after brown people. That's the subtext. Senator Durbin grills the Department of Homeland Security Secretary on Trump's remarks. Again, this is another guy mansplaining and talking down to a woman. And it's tolerated when it's a leftist doing it. So take a listen. Cut two.
You said on Fox News that the president used strong language. What was that strong language?
Let's see. It's strong language. There was apologies. I don't remember specific word. What I was struck with, frankly, as I'm sure you were as well, was just the general profanity that was used in the room by almost everyone.
Did you hear me use profanity?
No, sir. Neither did I.
Did you hear Senator Graham use profanity?
I did hear tough language from Senator Graham. Yes, sir.
What did he say?
He used tough language. He was impassioned. I think he was feeling very strongly about the issue, as was everyone in the room. And to underscore a point, I think he was using some strong language.
Do you recall that the strong language he used repeated exactly what the president had said prior to that?
I remember specific cuss words being used by a variety of members.
I'm not going to ask you to say those words here, but I will just say for the record, Senator Graham spoke up in a way that I respect very much, countering what the president had said about countries in Africa, reminding the president that his family did not come to America with great skills or wealth, but they came here as most families do, looking for a chance to prove themselves and make this a better nation. And in defense of Senator Graham, his strong words repeated exactly the words used by the president, which you cannot remember. Let me ask you another question.
If I just could, sir, I do want to say that I greatly appreciate not only Senator Graham's leadership, but yours as well. I know you're both very passionate about this. As you know, afterwards, I approached you and asked that I'm happy to come talk to you anytime to try to work on this deal. I do think that Senator Graham very impassionately described what he believes America is about and what we should move towards. Yes, I agree with that.
All right. So we're supposed to believe Durbin over the secretary because Durbin says what the narrative wants to hear. What if he's lying? Really, what if he's lying? What if Kirstjen Nielsen is telling the truth and he's the one who's full of it? You notice how that's automatically whatever Durbin said is the truth. And here you have this woman going up there, secretary, and saying, I didn't hear it. And everybody says, well, then she's lying because Dick Durbin said it. This is why this fighting over this dumb word is so ridiculous. They want to keep the story out there as long as possible. Because the longer they keep it out there and try to do this racist narrative, same thing like what Booker does, then the longer they can try. It's all they have. It's all they have. So then Chuck Schumer goes on the floor, and this is the ultimate. Everything I've been saying to you is proven true in one cut by Chuck Schumer. Everything I tell that I've been saying from Chuck Schumer on Stephen Colbert's show, and I'll play it after the news. But everything I've been saying about what this little game about DACA is all about, because they have no plan to run on, they have no agenda. So it's all about now racism and fear and making people feel like they got to cower in the shadows. They don't want to deal on DACA. Chuck Schumer proves it, and I'll share that with you straight ahead.
3 till 6. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.